Welcome to the Coin Podcast Network.
Travel shut down, restaurants closed, millions of lost jobs. 1 year of the coronavirus pandemic pushed the American economy both into recession and toward the brink of a staggering collapse. Now, as some signs point toward recovery, two economists join us to break down what a bounce back will look like and explain the potential pitfalls that could derail any rebound. It is Tuesday, March 9th. I'm Ian Costello, and this is Beyond the Headlines on the Coin Podcast Network. Bob Whalen is the director of Echo Northwest in Portland.
I'm a project director and senior economist with Echo Northwest, which is the largest economic consulting firm in the Northwest.
Tom Potowski is a senior advisor at the Northwest Economic Research Center.
I'm a retired professor of economics at Portland State University, and I was director of the Northwest Economic Research Center. And now I am a senior consultant.
Recently, I sat down with both of them to discuss where we are right now and what we need to be paying attention to in the coming months. Throughout my recent reporting on the coronavirus pandemic, I've tried to get a sense of where people were roughly a year ago. I wonder if you can take me back in time. For you and what it is you do, when did the coronavirus go from something you were hearing about to something that was going to dominate a lot of the decisions you make on a daily basis?
I can remember discussing with a group at 24-Hour Fitness. We were talking about, you know, we're hearing about the virus, and we started wondering about us coming to the gym. And so I really think it was kind of like about early February, we really started to think about that. And before the end of the month, the group that I always talk to at the gym, we all stopped going.
In mid-February, I was working in the office. We pretty much closed our office, but I lived two blocks from it, so I would still go in. And an employee who was visiting family in Bakersfield came in with her son. And it turned out a few days later, she came down with COVID. So I had to quarantine. And I was one of the first to have to do that. Mm-hmm. But you know what happened? There's this thing called the Mobility Index. And what it is they track the movement of cell phones from people's houses to schools, to businesses, to shops, to restaurants. It's done in total. It's not something where they break privacy rules, but the data goes from the cell companies to the Federal Reserve Bank, which regulates the currency of the U.S. economy. And they saw a drop in the mobility index in the Portland metro area that was an absolute collapse. And that happened in the third week of March last year. Absolute collapse. It was shocking.
I want to drill down on that point if we can. Still thinking back to last year, it was pretty early on, say by the middle of April, that we started to see some real employment losses, especially in the service industries. And obviously, the moves intended to flatten the coronavirus curve slowed business down. But what you're saying is you saw, based on that mobility index, you saw a drop earlier than that. You started to see things changing significantly in March.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, the unemployment data, when they release it, it's already old. It's 6 weeks old. And also employers hesitate to lay people off. Because you think back then, a lot of us were thinking, well, okay, it's going to be bad for a few months, but then the summer will come and like the flu, kind of go away. And we're all hopeful people. We kind of hope that would happen. So what actually happened was the mobility collapse, which meant wasn't a decision by government so much to tell people to stay home. It's a decision by people.
They were making the decision to keep themselves isolated or more isolated.
Ian, absolutely correct. It's an interesting phenomenon. We looked at the mobility index of, say, Portland Metro with places that opened up, like in Florida and Georgia, they declined just as much. People make that decision themselves. They were scared.
Still thinking back to that around that time last year, Tom, what were the first signs you saw that the pandemic was having what would turn out to be a pretty historic impact on the economy?
Well, you know, the data is going to lag, you know, what's happening out there for employment and things like that. And February didn't go down very much because things were just starting and some of the closures happening. And then you don't get the March numbers until really about mid-April. And so you knew with all these closures and so on that this was going to be pretty big. But then when the numbers came out, you know, the drops definitely in March, and then we knew April was going to be very bad too. Those are historic drops. Maybe in the Great Depression period, you might have seen a monthly drop like that. The Great Recession that we had, you know, in 2009 pales in comparison to that kind of a monthly drop.
I want to talk a little bit about the information the general public used to judge the health of the economy. Although they might not be the best representations, stock markets and the requests for public assistance, like unemployment. You look back to 2020, and for the course of the year, the Dow was up roughly 7%. The S&P had a better year than that. You contrast that with unemployment at record high a few times throughout 2020. When you talk about looking at the stock market on one hand, and over here you're looking at unemployment numbers, which of them is a better indication of overall economic health?
You take a look at the data and you've got to scratch your head at first. This doesn't look like a recession. I mean, the data is conflicting. The unemployment rate, definitely down. Uninsurance benefits, claims, way up in the stratosphere. And then you take a look at income data and the income was going up.
Even personal income was going up.
Personal income was going up quite a bit. What we hadn't had in a past recession was a type of rescue package from the federal government. And what we've seen is that because it was a blanket federal package out there, it definitely helped those that were really suffering to try to kind of get by. But a lot of money went to people that didn't need it.
Bob, how do we reconcile those two themes?
This is the weirdest recession we've ever had, because whether you feel the recession depends not on how successful you are or how hard you work or how nice of a person you are or where you live even. It depends on your career choice. If you chose to have a career being a GM at a hotel in Portland, it's a great paying job. It's a great job. You lost your shirt. I mean, you're probably unemployed. If you made the career choice of being an accountant, you're doing great. You're sitting at home. You're not spending any money commuting. You're getting paid. Turns out, weird thing, personal income, money that people earn from everything, work, checks from the government, dividends, things like that, skyrocketed last year because the federal government dumped boatloads of money into the economy. So what happened is that if you're one of the unlucky ones, I mean, you're struggling. It's terrible. But if you're one of the many people, unemployment rate might be 7%, but the employment rate's 93. You're making money and you have no place to spend it.
Here we are roughly a year into this. How would you rate the overall health of our economy as you see it tail end of February, first part of March of 2021?
Economists talk about recovery periods, and we are in a recovery. That doesn't mean we're not in pain. You know, if you have a hip replacement, you know, you've got to go through a month of pain. You're in recovery, but you're not too happy about the recovery, but you're slowly getting better. And this is what we've seen. We've seen actually a rapid bounce back from the depths of those, you know, from February through April, and then really coming back up quite fast. But then a little bit of a stall out was happening. And a lot of this is that we're getting people that are not just temporarily unemployed, but the unemployment that they are experiencing is becoming a little longer. If it was all temporary, well, you know, you get out, you're done. But the more kind of hangs on, the more worse things kind of add up. And so right now, I'd say the health of the economy is poor, but we are in recovery. We're having a race against time. The longer this pandemic hangs out, the longer you have people unemployed and so on, the longer sort of the scarring can occur on the economy.
I see this economy as simmering, ready to explode on the upside.
Why?
Because there's about 6 months worth of held up spending in the hands of consumers. There's also people paid down debt. And so they can increase their borrowing when things get more settled. It's going to explode. The issue is, how do you help the people that really got hurt? How did they get out of it?
This last period of time is going to affect them for their lifetimes.
Oh, it always does. It's an interesting thing, but the Black Plague, what followed it was the Renaissance. Unprecedented income growth. 1918, what followed it? The Roaring Twenties, the strongest economic period in the history of the United States.
You just referred to the economy as simmering. Do you see that simmering now turning into a situation, something that harkens back to those explosive times of economic growth?
That's what's going to happen. I mean, it's just going to happen. And you have the amount of money being pumped into the economy by Congress, $1.9 trillion. Do you know how much money that is? That's how much we spent in World War II if you adjust for inflation. And the Federal Reserve has been pumping out cash, tons of cash. And that cash is pushing up asset prices. And what does that mean? It means the price of housing has gone up when it shouldn't have. The price of stocks have gone up when they shouldn't have. And it's caused this inflation. And for people who own assets, that's great. But here's the thing that bothers me. A lot of people, the young people in my office, I mean, they just got out of college 3-4 years ago. They don't have these big savings. They're still paying off student loans. They don't own houses. They probably don't own any stock. They're going to get hurt by this. Because now when they go out to buy a house, that house that should be $200,000 is $500,000.
They're priced out of the market.
They're priced out of the market. And it's because there's this cash dumped into the economy.
Dr. Potowski, there are some reports floating around out there. Some reports of positive retail sales in early 2021. You look back, and we talked about it a little bit a minute ago. You look back at the idea that there is some more personal cash on hand. Those who kept their jobs were able to save more money than they had planned on. There are some signs, as you said, that the economy is moving in a positive direction. Do you see any signs that we're poised for a rebound?
Poised for a rebound? Yes, absolutely. With the amount of checkable deposits that are out there, you almost have kind of a dam against this huge flood of funds that are available. Once people, I think, feel even safer about going out, and there's going to be pent-up demand. People want, they like social interaction. And so I think you'll really start to see quite a bit of increase in consumer spending once there is that sort of safety aspect that we've gone through and the pandemic is not as scary and horrible virus that it is even today.
Take all the things we've talked about so far into consideration as those things relate specifically to coming out of the pandemic. People start to eat out at restaurants. People travel more. People start to return to the office. The portion of the population that has been holed up in their house has some money to spend. What are the signs, early signs, we'll see that things are rebounding?
You'll definitely see that in terms of the claims for unemployment insurance should start to come down quite a bit. And that's more of a real-time aspect because they do that weekly. So we'll probably see that come down quite quickly. And then the monthly data will start to come out for employment. Now the other thing maybe we want to touch on, I don't think everything's going to come back to normal. There are going to be things that are going to be more permanent. And you mentioned about people going back to work. I don't know if you're going to see the same numbers, for example, in downtown Portland, of people going back to the office.
What signs should I be looking for to see that this economy, Bob, that you called simmering, is going from simmering to approaching a boiling point?
Oh, you'll see it on the streets, because it's not going to be long before they're opening up restaurants, really opening up restaurants. And you'll find it impossible to get a reservation. Because, Ian, look, a lot of restaurants closed for good. Mm-hmm. Theaters closed for good. Dry cleaners, I know, just closed for good. Hotels, they're converting hotels into senior housing because there's no use for them. There's going to be a lack of supply of these things, yet the demand for it is going to way exceed any historical precedent. So you're going to have a lot of inflation. That's the big risk coming up, inflation. And when inflation takes off, interest rates climb and climb and climb, and the government can't stop that happening. And all of a sudden, that 3% mortgage rate becomes 5, it becomes 6, it becomes 7, it becomes 8. That's the big risk. I don't know how the heck they're going to handle that.
Other than inflation, or in addition to that real big inflation concern, what are some of the hurdles that are standing in the way of a solid economic recovery?
So what is needed is for these businesses, for these, for the dry cleaner, for the restaurant, for the performing arts theater, they need cash to reopen. That restaurant, it needs to restock inventory. It's expensive. That hotel is going to need all new linens and other things. It's going to have to start hiring people. Hiring people is not cheap. Not cheap at all. Now is when they need that cash.
As they reopen.
Yeah, to get them really cooking.
Can that influx of cash into the restaurants and the hotels and that kind of thing, can that come from consumer spending? Or do you see a situation where government is going to have to get involved again?
I think government should get involved again. They don't have to, but if they don't, it's going to mean that some of those restaurants you hope and reopen don't. And there's going to be such a shortage of tables because people aren't going to have alternatives. You know, you have a lack of supply and a crazy amount of demand.
Based on Econ 101, that should increase the price of goods.
Oh, big time. That's inflation. And inflation's not a good thing.
We've known since late last spring that there's this strained relationship between tenants, both residential and commercial, and the property owners. It's bordering on a bit of a catastrophe. There's been some talk about some minimal rent relief and some government-backed landlord bailouts. Dr. Potowski, I think navigating that real estate pitfall is going to be critical going forward. You're talking about the idea that maybe people aren't returning to commercial space in the density that they used to. Is that critical to recovery?
I don't know if necessarily critical to our rebound and our recovery, but the commercial real estate, especially office space in like a downtown center, those may be a little more struggling even as we come back, because we finally had that experiment that you can actually work from home and be productive. And people kind of liked it. Some don't, some do. That's why I think they'll be coming back, but maybe not in the same numbers. And I think employers are saying, hey, I can save money on office space.
I've asked a lot of people in different medical fields a version of this question. How do you think we will be better prepared for the next pandemic due to this one? What lessons do you think we've learned?
One, I think, is at least from the federal government side and state government, even local governments, you know, if you have a pandemic like this, you need to throw everything in the kitchen sink at it. And we've been doing that, especially at the federal level. That has alleviated what would even be a worse situation if we didn't have those rescue packages. So I think that's a lesson truly learned. Two, I think we may find people recognizing that you may have to have some savings, personal savings. Now, it's tough, you know, people that have low wages, it's tough because they have to spend paycheck to paycheck. It's very tough to save anything out. But I think they'll even have to think about that a little bit better, because you'll need some cushion in case something bad happens.
Bob, what lessons do you think we've learned? You talked about history a little bit earlier in our conversation, and it seems like we tend to repeat our behavior. What's going to be different in 5 or 10 or 20 years when we do this again?
I think we'll repeat a lot of the same mistakes, but that's okay because we're resilient. But a couple of things are going to change. People will save more money, will become less of a spending culture. Another thing that I think will happen is we will probably almost certainly increase spending on public health. That's absolute necessity. And I think every state recognizes that. If you have a weak public health system, which the U.S. has, this is what happens when there is a crisis. And I'm hoping that that happens.
Tom, as we're wrapping up here, when you look at the next 6 to 12 to 18 months, what do you think people really need to keep in mind when it comes to the health of the economy? What's a good way for me to feel better about where we're going to be in 12 months?
Well, I think information that you'll start to come in, what we hope, we're going to see the number of cases dropping. You'll feel safer about going out. We're going to see more and more businesses being open. And so I think that employment will be better. I don't think it's not going to be an overnight thing, but it will continue, in my mind, get better. And people will feel safer about going out, doing sort of normal things that they enjoyed doing before.
That will do it for us today. I want to thank Bob Whalen and Tom Pitowski for their important insight. Thank you for listening to the Coin Podcast Network. We will talk to you soon.
The Coin Podcast Network is your home for on-demand coverage of local news, sports, weather, and entertainment you won't find anywhere else. You can always find us on coin.com/podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.